Welcome in, he's and she's. Welcome back to the Bull and Moose podcast, where I am Bull. Oh, no, I'm Moose, and he's Bull.
Yeah.
First things first, I do want to apologize for this episode being late. We got lazy. We didn't record a episode before we went away on a small trip. But now we're back, and we're going to get this one as soon as possible. And it's perfect, because there's pretty big news, but it's not really been talked about as much as like I thought it might be. But it's,
yeah, we had to let it marinate before we talked about it, you know.
Right, exactly.
I just hold off a day.
Yeah, but first off, we do want to remind you that we do have this podcast coming out every single Friday, and make sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast for more kind of like progressive news, thoughts, and commentary on this trying time and crazy situation that the country is in now and has been in for quite some time.
Because you're not gonna find it on TV.
That's true. You're not gonna, like, literally I had to find some kind of like objective opinion on the new Heroes bill, that which is what we're going to be talking about today. And there's no objective opinion, that's dumb, but there's no opinion on it right now, and that's what I more meant. Like, I can only find facts, like what's in the bill. But I mean, like, it's an 1800 page bill. Like, how is there not more than just like the basic kind of skeleton information? But it's whatever. And then I also want to remind you that this podcast is not about pushing any kind of opinion or anything onto you. We do not expect you to come out of this like a progressive. It's just to put the ideas and the questions into your head so that maybe you'll start to talk about it with other people as well.
Start a discussion.
Exactly. But like I referenced, the Heroes Bill, and damn, Congress loves their fucking acronyms. They really like jump through a hoop to make this the Heroes Bill.
It's just because they know that it works about on 15-20% of the population, just like when they passed the Patriot Act.
Yeah,
which was one of the most unpatriotic, you know, legislations ever made.
It'll test well, so.
Mm-hmm. Just like that, Make America Great, or.
Yeah.
It's one of the trigger words.
Heroes Bill stands for Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act. That's quite a quite a hoop to a jump through. But so you guys,
we should look at that word. Omnibus, what is it?
Omnibus. I know one definition for it is literally just bus, like a bus, just a school bus. A volume containing several novels or other items previously published separately.
Yeah.
So I think it's saying,
yeah, they're stretching. They had to dig in the Webster's Dictionary for that one. They're like, oh, we gotta get front of it.
Yeah, like I think what that is saying, that it's a collection of a lot of ideas that they heard. You know, like not one person introduced this. Which is kind of encouraging. But you guys might, or obviously, you guys remember the CARES Act that was signed into law in March, was it? Right? It was March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, at least on paper, this is a very objectively better bill. There's more in it. Of course, you know, with the first one, you got a $1,200 payment with some caveats. If you were a student, if you had debt, then banks and things like child support were able to garnish some of your wages.
Those weren't necessarily hashed out either, because like one of our friends, he got his mm-hmm. wage or his stimulus garnished for child support that he already paid off and stuff. He got like $300.
It was already paid off.
Yeah, but he didn't. Well, supposedly, but yeah.
I mean, obviously something was there, but still, it should have. When you're trying to restart the economy with this money, like, it's not, shouldn't mm-hmm. be taking debts out like that.
True.
But I think this is a massive improvement, and it's incremental progress, even though I still don't think we need incremental progress at the time. So, first off, there is still the $1,200 to every adult. As per usual, $2,400 if you're a married couple.
Did that start out at 12? I think they just started out at 12, or were they discussing 2,000 first?
Well, there was like, okay, so I know like one of our friends thought that like, and many people that I know thought that like we were getting $2,000 as like a fact, and that's just not the case. The thing was that a lot of people were throwing out the $2,000 number as if well, because that's what they think we needed. Mm-hmm. A lot of course, like, I'm a big fan of Andrew Yang, so I follow him on Twitter. He was a big proponent of at least giving $2,000 to every adult for the next, like, 6 months.
Yeah, that was on Bernie's bill, too, for the first Heroes was $2,000.
Yeah, so that was something that I don't think, like, was kind of, like, never really, like, actually talked about. It was just something that we probably should do.
Yeah, I think that was, like, maybe a starting point, and then, like, the $12,000 is the compromise.
Yeah. Like I said, like, this is incremental change. I think it's progressive incremental change, but we don't really need incremental right now. But let's get back to it. So $1,200 for every adult, $2,400 if you're joint. And instead of where it's $600 for every kid, mm-hmm. Now it's $1,200 each dependent for up to three dependents.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So let's say you have three kids, you know, your family of two, you can get up to $6,000 mm-hmm. if my quick math is right. It also, something I thought was pretty cool is that it removes the requirement of a social security number.
Yeah. So like for anybody who's not a citizen or not has mixed
citizenship
within their families, like help them get aid and stuff like that.
Right. So that's was the end progress. And then, like I said, as far as a non-number thing is that it does, there is the words that they use, the language does not allow banks or anyone that you might be in debt to garnish any of your bill or any of your check, which is good. There's nearly $1 trillion in aid to states and local governments.
How much is it?
It's nearly $1 trillion in aid to state and local governments.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they're giving the corporations, you know, trillions, mm-hmm. they're taking care of what, their company or maybe like a million employees or 1,000 or 100,000 employees or whatever.
Right.
When states are, you know, got millions and millions of residents and other things that they take care of, like schools and prisons and
mm-hmm.
any other kind of public facility, parks and libraries and stuff like that.
That was another issue why probably no one's like trying to cancel rent right now. Because like when you pay for like property taxes, that directly goes to the cops and firefighters. And so it would cause this whole domino effect. Even
right now that not many people are just like out on the road or anything, like they're not getting the same amount of like tickets. That's why they're going to start pulling people over some fucking bullshit.
Yeah, over some bullshit just to try to squeeze you off for every little dollar you can. That's why I paid my tags on time for the first time, I think, ever. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not really my tags technically at the time, but anyways, moving on. As of right now, the $600 additional funds for unemployment is set to end at the end of July. This bill would extend that into January 31st, 2021, and it's kind of a soft cutoff. It would allow some people to be extended even into and through March of 2021, which is super clutch for you.
Yeah. Just in case the kiddies can go back to school and the theaters aren't open.
Yeah, and I make that joke, but I mean, it's a very real aid to over 36 million people now. And that number's probably more because I haven't looked at them since Friday. Well, the numbers come out, every Tuesday or something like that?
Yeah.
It would expand coronavirus testing, contact tracing, and treatment, and a requirement for the Trump administration to develop a national testing strat. Enhancing tax credits for employers to keep workers on their payrolls. Support to help renters and homeowners make monthly rent, mortgage, and utility payments. I don't really know those last three things. I don't know any of those specifics. Like I said, I couldn't find it without having to go actually read the 1,800-page bill myself. And then there's $10 billion for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps. Mm-hmm. $3.6 billion for grants to states for contingency planning and preparation for elections for federal offices. That is to help expand mail-in voting.
Yeah.
For some reason, that word contingency like really like tripped me up. And that's the last thing. Also, just a little side note. This past Friday, Congress voted to allow surrogate and remote voting temporarily, which I think just should be like, why aren't we doing that?
Yeah. Well, no, so the thing with those the online freaking voting or the machine voting is anyone can freaking whoever runs the machine runs the algorithm runs, you know, voting number. It's so easy to change a 0 to a 1, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like the thing is, like with paper voting, is why it's so, you know, fail safe kind of like.
Yeah, but even if you're not doing like, we've all been taking classes, or I'm not in school, but everyone's been taking classes through Zoom. You can have a similar thing like a Zoom call for Congress, you know?
Yeah, you got Zoom calls and stuff. Well, I'm talking about, like, voting, like, in the general election and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because like, that's what that's going to go for, too, is for the this coming up election.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to be, like, paper ballot based.
Yeah.
So, or not paper ballot, mail-in, or if they're going to do, like, online where you can go onto a website.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, websites are just so hackable, you know? Like,
they're hackable. If you get a lot of participation, then they crash easy. Yeah. Which was the huge problem with the Obamacare.
Yeah. I mean, like, a mail-in ballot, like a physical ballot, you can't hack that. I mean, obviously, you can, like, hire the people who count them and stuff like that. And
right.
People can, like, call, like, certain elections and stuff into, like, question or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, the paper mail-in, you know, is the best way. And what we do need to have is, like, maybe, like, a group of people who get voted in, or a group of people who, like jury duty every year, you know?
Right.
That you get a letter saying, okay, you're a vote counter this year, or something like that.
Make it like a civic duty.
Yeah. That's one of your, like, civic duties, you're a vote counter this year. Mm-hmm. And then so that way, because as of this point, each party, they count their own votes. The people who count their own votes are on the DNC or the RNC. And you know, it's not. Yeah, well, it's because those are the political parties. Technically, the Republican Party can put whoever they want, and Democratic Party can put whoever they want for you guys to vote for. They don't have to even have an election.
Really?
Yep. Or a primary.
So what? Why do they do that? Like, why don't they just choose people?
Because then it would be so blatant that people wouldn't vote for the Republicans or Democrats, because it would just look like, you know, so corrupt. And like, I'm not going to vote for these guys. But now that's what it looks like now, you know?
Right, yeah. So I just read the facts of the case. There's a ton of no one thinks that this bill is going to get past the Senate, because ahead of the Senate vote, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has criticized the bill, and Trump's even been quoted as saying that this thing is DOA, dead on arrival. Kevin McCarthy was quoted as saying, "I listened to what Speaker Pelosi told your conference to go big. Instead of going big, it seems you went a little crazy. This is a political messaging bill. It has no chance at becoming law." What do you think? Like,
well, I think that, I mean, that's like the first bill and the same thing. Like, it's just going to be another compromise. Probably like $1,200.
Yeah.
They'll probably have more incentives for like paycheck protection.
Mm-hmm.
And then more incentives for like small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, because out of everybody who's like hurting right now, even like individually, like small businesses are going under like left and right.
True.
And you know, that, and the bigger corporations, they're just buying all those up right now.
Right.
And that's like the overarching like problem. What's going on is like a certain amount of people are getting control over resources, land, mm-hmm. and, you know, industry. And the rest of the people are getting pushed out and stuff. So it's like, after all this is happening, like, are they going to give up some of that control? Or, but history says, like, usually not, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, like, you're seeing total reluctancy from the Republican side right now. Like, and I'm not usually a fan of, like, pointing fingers, but
I think Donald Trump's definitely going to give people another stimulus check. Just so he can send in that little letter saying, "Yo, your boy."
Yeah, but
give you another thou.
It seems like the Republican consensus right now is do nothing. We've already put in, you know, X amount of trillions of dollars, which largely went to corporations, and God knows what they did with all that money that they got. Because we certainly know that a lot of jobs are not coming back out of this 36 million that are currently unemployed.
Yeah, like freaking 1984 scenario where you have like Amazon or Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either get a job at Amazon or you can get a job at Costco. And, yeah, like, those are the only places, you know, that are hiring. And they're not going to let you have an unemployment no more because, well, Amazon's hiring. Go work for them, you know?
Right, yeah. And, yeah, and like I said, we've been hearing about how Jeff Bezos is on track to be the world's first actual trillionaire. That Amazon is still looking for people to come in and work. And so many other people are getting laid off. So many other businesses are going under.
Like, this is, like, 1984, George Orwell's 1984. Mm-hmm. Like, you got that one corporation that's overarching and, like, runs everything or supplies everything. And then you got us bickering with China, setting up the freaking, you know, never-ending war.
Yeah.
Between the two countries. Because guess what? If China starts a war with the United States, now they get all their defense production. And they're not just going to be supplying them. They're going to be supplying Russia. They're going to be supplying Iran, stuff like that. And then we get to have our suppliers, their never-ending supply of weapons and stuff and money going into their pockets. So that's what starts that never-ending war that you're going to hear about and stuff like that. Right. We already have the surveillance that's going on. China, it's blatant. But here in the United States, it's getting worse. I mean, now they're talking about making everybody have the vaccine or making everybody have a tracking device if you have the COVID and stuff so you know where you're at and things like that.
Yeah, I mean that was directly in something that I read, contact tracing. You got to ask yourself, how are they actually going to be doing that without putting something, you know?
Yeah, and it's one thing if it's a death rate, you know, 60% bird flu or something like that, you know? And then it's going to kill all of humanity. But the numbers do not say that. The rate of death for people dying of old age lower than the people who are dying of COVID. So, like, people die of old age before they die of COVID, basically.
Yeah.
Statistically. So, the only people who are dying of, we hear old people dying of COVID, is like 100, 97, 90, right. You know, like over 90.
People that were
running. And, like, out a lot of people who are critical in other other aspects of their health, like heart disease, or they had, like, a defibrillator, or they had to be on a
dialysis.
Like, all these, like, preconditions, people who are already in critical care, like, on dialysis, and who had several heart attacks or several strokes, and they died of COVID. They didn't say that, oh, they had these, you know, pre-existing injuries. They said, they died of COVID.
Yeah.
It's like the people who die of, like, have cancer, and they die of, like, a pneumonia or something like that.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. And I was one of the people that were completely down for shutting as much as we can down at the start of it.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know how bad this could be. But now that it's turning out, it's like, oh, it's not that bad. Or at least people did stay home, helped enough. Now it's like, why are we still here?
Yeah, and the main reason was because we didn't have enough hospitals open. We didn't have enough defibrillators, things like that. But now they're showing that, oh, defibrillators are actually killing people. And we do have enough space now in the hospitals. So it's like, you know, and the thing is, like, when it comes to testing, so they're testing the people who are sick coming in critical. So obviously, like, more people are going to be have coronavirus and or have, like, a higher death rate. But if they were testing everybody and they got all the numbers from all the people who didn't have symptoms, for all the people who beat it in a day, for all the people, I mean, the death rate would go down, like, exponentially. So they're writing that that so-called high death rate or somewhat high death rate, higher than the flu, for more than what actually really is.
Back to the economy, though, I finally remembered what I wanted to bring up earlier. So we're seeing a place of non-action, of quote-unquote wait and see from the Republican side. And that just speaks to when the stock market was absolutely tanking is when both sides all, you know, wanted to do something. And something got done, no matter how minuscule it is. And now that the stock market's doing fine, but millions of people are losing their jobs, the owners of these companies, like the example that I keep seeing getting floated around is Macy's, has said they're not reopening a ton of stores. And that's a big that's a big box retailer. Well, not big, but that's a big retail company. These places are not going to be opening up. These jobs are not coming back. It shows the disconnect between what America's standard is for a good economy or things being okay. You know, if there's rich and powerful making money still on the stock market, then they don't feel like they need to do anything.
Yeah, and then, I mean, like, if you look at the Great Depression, like, there's a reason why the stock market crash happened in 1929 and then the Great Depression like really hit in 1932.
Right.
Because they were, you know, trying to put money into the stock market and stuff, prop it up. But the thing is, people were still getting unemployed. People were still losing their jobs. Factories were still closing and people were losing their farms and the Dust Bowl happened. So it's like all these things that were going on never got addressed, and so the Great Depression happened, and like they're headed down that same road again if they don't pass any of these bills. But they didn't give anybody, you know, thousands of dollars during the Great Depression. Didn't give anybody any kind of help basically during that time until FDR came around. So this time they're trying to, you know, buffer it, because it's not the fact that nobody wants to work, or we can't work, or we don't want to buy products, or there's no products to buy. It's the fact that nobody can go out their house.
Yeah.
So it's like a forced recession or a forced, like, depression, you know?
Right. It's something that you think could be solved so easy, but it's so much more complicated. And the thing is, like, in a time like this, to see real change, you need people, like, going about their rent strike or striking their jobs or going and protesting in front of the buildings. But people are so beaten into submission, one, or they think that the coronavirus is a serious threat to them. That's two. And so we're going to need someone coming up here in the next maybe two election cycles. These elections will be the most important, probably since the Great Depression.
Yeah, that they've been saying that every year.
No, yeah, but this time I feel it's definitely like real, like it's serious this time.
I think the train's already out the fucking tracks, going down the hill,
and we're gonna
looking not for, you know,
to be saved.
We're not looking for a competent conductor no more. We're looking for Jesus Christ, freaking, or Superman to come and lift the train off back on the tracks right now. He's all of us. Superman's the people.
There you go.
Rise up.
Rise. So you spoke on consolidation, and one thing is that although there's like a rent, moratorium.
Yeah.
And that's for one thing that only covers any complex or like any renter that is backed by like a federal bank. So all in all, that only counts for about 28% of all Americans. And back in 2008, when it was a large housing crisis, private companies started to purchase thousands of homes to rent out. And now we're seeing one like Invitation Homes, I believe, that is just they have no reason to not evict people.
The idea of like private property, like citizen private property, is like being destroyed. The fact that you can own your home, you can own the ground, you can own the mineral rights, you can own the water and stuff. That's all disappearing. Like, if you look at who owns what land, like, China owns a bunch of land in the United States. The different corporations own a lot of land now, and they're not really taking land from people who are losing their homes or their farms. They're taking, now they're starting to take public lands, lands that are set aside for reservations, preservation, stuff like that. You know, wilderness societies or, like, Yosemite or what happened in the Keystone Pipeline in Standing Rock.
Right. And who was in charge that had let that go through the time?
Obama.
You guys should have seen his face.
It's Obama. Because, you know, they just prop these guys up and they go and they give them a lot of money and they do their bidding. Like, you shouldn't fool people to think that if somebody gives you millions and millions of dollars to do something, like, you're usually gonna do it. Like, people go out here and they kill people for $5,000, or they'll kill people over $100 and stuff. You don't think that somebody who's getting paid millions of dollars from oil companies, getting paid millions of dollars from
the
pharmaceutical companies, or from investment companies, insurance companies, that they're not gonna go and do what they tell them to do.
Right.
You're basically a person for hire, you know, when you get to that stage.
Very true.
And you can look throughout the last 40, 50 years of presidents and who's paid them, and you can look at their policies.
Yeah.
And they match up, you know.
You know what would be... So we just watched recently, we watched the movie Sorry to Bother You, and in that, and it's an idea that's in a lot of film and TV and stuff, but there's... I forget the name of the company all of a sudden in the movie, but it's basically a place where they give you food and shelter, and you live in this little cot with like other families, and all that you have to do is that you go and work for them. And you alluded to something like that with Costco and Amazon. And I quickly mentioned how after the housing crisis in 2008, when all of the value of these homes were at an all-time low, thousands of homes were bought out by numerous private corporations. And instead of like what they would do normally and repair the homes and then go and sell them at a higher price, now they're starting to rent those out. Because one, the eviction process is a lot faster, and there's a lot less protections for someone who is renting versus someone who is buying to own a, and you can get them out and get someone in far quicker than you can to do any kind of repairs on the home, and then go through the process of a foreclosure and then go find a new buyer, blah, and on and on. So eventually you might see a situation where no one really has any money, and then you're going to start to see people going to work for these private companies, and then that's how they get their fucking house. Like it seems like an idea that you've read in books,
that's what happened the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. with the coal mining cities, with the different textile plants and stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially with when you're a coal miner and you're out in like West Virginia or something like that, and there's nothing around for miles and miles. Well, you go mine to the general store, because you go there and you buy stuff, and it's always higher than it should be, because they say, oh, we gotta ship it in and stuff like that.
Right. But
the company owns the store, and then you go there and you start building up a tab with the store, mm-hmm. and now you're working for the company to pay off your tab with that company. And so it's like it turns into slavery.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, those companies own the store, and so basically they owned the worker.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was. It was modern day slavery, but it was for slavery for white men, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
And and
that's what they do. And that's the thing. Like, there's no difference between, you know, poor white, poor black, poor Mexican, mm-hmm. and poor anything.
They're all just poor.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're all being exploited.
Yeah.
For our, you know, work. And it's just the makeup of, like, a capitalist society, you know. Mm-hmm. The corporation wants to pay you the least amount of money, so they make the most amount of profit on their product. You want to make the most amount of money for the time that you're putting in, because mm-hmm. that's the only time out of your life. So that's where that dichotomy starts. That's why you need unions. That's why you need a government that's, you know, actually going to represent you, because otherwise you don't have the power. Because now what do we see now? Oh, Amazon's buying everything up. Now you got to work for Amazon. Well, mm-hmm. now what are you going to start paying, you know, Amazon on your tab if you can't afford things, and right. they're the only one who can supply it?
Yeah. Already, like, in our town of Stockton, we already know there's, like, what, three Amazon warehouses within, like, half an hour, mm-hmm. Going to either side. Mm-hmm. And so many people in Stockton work for either Tesla or Amazon. Yep. Like, such a large, like, I work at a larger grocery store here, and I can't tell you how many people come in directly after work, both late at night and early in the morning, with their Amazon shirts on. It's a ton of people. And then to go even further, everyone works for retail in this town. Everybody.
Yeah, that's the only jobs are left.
That's the only jobs that are here. And with more and more places closing down, you're either going to be someone who, like, writes code, or you're going to work in, like, a customer service industry. And then what seemed like was going to happen in 4 or 5 years still might. But then, like, all those jobs are going to go now, too, because all the people that are writing code are going to write code for bots and stuff that's just going to take your fucking job. It's,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, this future. This has been happening, and it's going to happen over the, you know, over time, but, like, this whole stoppage sped up everything by about 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to companies closing down, when it comes to big corporations being able to suck up other smaller companies. I mean, it's disgusting, but that's why you see so many people buying weapons. Mm-hmm. That's why you see the people becoming so distrustful of the mainstream mm-hmm. media, because they know that's what's going on. They should have done this 30 years ago before yeah. the internet blew up, because now it's blatant and people are talking about it.
But I mean, like,
that's the thing. Like, I mean, before I was, you know, hesitant to like say like, oh, like, you know, keep a gun in the apartment and stuff, because like, you know, you have a gun and stuff, tend to use it. Or yeah. now, you know, we're fucking getting guns. Like, yeah, like there's no question about it.
Yeah,
you know?
And like we were listening to the Joe Rogan podcast last night, and they were talking about how they know people who were so far left, who were so against guns, and now all of a sudden they're like, you know what, we need a fucking gun, man. Like, because it's a real sense of like, this shit's just getting so bad again. And I say again because this is a normal cycle that we as a country have gone through, that's gotten broken multiple times, and we might have to break it again. So we see all these band-aid fixes, and there no doubt will be more, but what do we actually need to do, in your opinion, to fix this?
Well, we should have done what most of the major countries were doing already.
Which was?
Even countries like China, or countries like, you know, South Korea, uh-huh. places that people like to say, like, oh, a third world, or you know, or not as great as America. Those places are doing okay now.
Yeah, like, we're still trying to fumble around and mm-hmm. figure shit out.
One, you need to test everybody, first off, and they didn't want to do that. You had to be sick for 8 weeks to get the test. Mm-hmm. And unless, some people didn't even get a test if you weren't critical.
Unless you were rich and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two, they should have listened to the president in the first place when they said to shut everything down, because closing off all plane travel from the infected areas would have stopped, even in Europe, especially in Europe, where you came, where the more deadlier virus came and infected New York, where they had more deaths and stuff. Those all travel should have been cut off. And then thirdly, if they were going to have, you know, a month or two where it was shut down, then they should have guaranteed everybody their jobs, so companies didn't have to lay off their employees, and people didn't have to go on unemployment.
Yeah.
And two, they should have guaranteed that, should have helped the small businesses, whatever, with their rents or rent stoppage. And so that companies wouldn't go under because they couldn't pay the rent. And those were the main thing, reasons why either companies went over or people go under, because they didn't have their jobs or companies couldn't pay their rent.
Yeah.
And countries like Germany, they guaranteed, they did rent stoppage, and they guaranteed everybody paycheck protection.
Yeah.
And most of the European Union did that, guaranteed paycheck protection and rent stoppage. That's what Italy did, guaranteed paycheck protection and rent stoppage. Mm-hmm. But
we see none of those protections here, and we're still trying to fumble around, and our government is acting like nothing's wrong, because like I said, there's such a gap between what actually matters, and it's a shame. We saw every job created since the 2008 great quote-unquote recession has been lost in the last 2 months now. Every, like, as far as, like, numbers, not saying there was a manufacturing job created, that job's gone now. Just, as far as numbers, since 2008, every job that's been created is now gone.
Yeah, exactly. And so, they, both sides, instead of, you know, trying to help out the situation, they try to get their goodies put in, either you know, tax breaks for this percent of the rich or tax breaks for that percent of the rich,
right?
And it's like either one didn't want to budge, and so, you know, the American people at the end of the day got screwed, and they're the ones supposed to be working for us.
Yeah,
we're the ones who pay their salaries that they can vote to raise every year, but they can't vote to fix the water problem in Flint, Michigan.
It's a shame. It's damn ugly what's going on. Do you have any final thoughts? We're kind of reaching time.
Go out and buy a gun.
Go out and buy a gun.
Revolution's coming.
Yeah. Didn't, we're not saying, you know, use the gun to go when to go and jack a grandma taking her evening walk down the street. Just saying, use them. Buy them, because it might be soon where we have to force ourselves into some actual change here.
Yeah, or you have to protect yourself from them saying that, oh, no one can buy guns anymore because too many people are buying guns.
Or we find out that there's some, like, tracking shit in a vaccine and they're trying to force you to take it. Nope. Yeah, it's we're not talking buying gun to defend your to defend your home. We're talking about like defend your civil liberties.
These are conspiratorial times, but conspiratorial things are going on. You know, I think that's clearer now more than ever.
So be safe, be smart, be cautious,
be informed.
Be informed, yeah, really above anything. But that's where we're going to wrap up today's episode. I hope you guys are taking these into yourself and starting to discuss some of these things, even if it's just in your own head. But make sure to follow the podcast. All the podcast episodes will be up on YouTube here shortly, probably by the next episode coming out. You'll be able to go over there. And yeah, do whatever you gotta do. Tell your friends, tell your family about us, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, don't worry about feeling like you're crazy, because this stuff's really going on. Yep. So it's actually happening.
Yeah. All right, guys. Peace out.